Boys United. We're gonna give the boys a hand.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the official Leeds United podcast. This week hosted by me and Dominic Matteo. Speaking of Matteos, we had the pleasure last week of chatting to Matteo Joseph, and that chat is coming up right now. Obviously, with the international break, we've not had a whole lot going on. So enjoy this interview, and we'll be right back next week with more Leeds United football news. Enjoy. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show the young star that we've got on our hands at Leeds United, Matteo Joseph. How are you?
Hi, fine. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How was the pronunciation? Was it all right?
Yeah. Perfect.
For a Leeds accent, it was all right, eh?
Yeah.
Well, don't worry, because obviously my second name, obviously Matteo as well. So, you know, you did very well there, because I've had all kinds. I've been called all kinds of stuff, mate. But, you know, it is what it is.
I've had you on this show how many times, Dom, and I still call you Don Matteo. I've never got... I'll start introducing you as Don Matteo as well then. Is that all right?
Yeah, listen, I don't mind. I'm a big boy. I can look after myself.
Well, thanks for joining us, mate. I know you've got a busy schedule. It's obviously been... a really busy few weeks at the club, and especially for yourself. I want to get into talking about you as a bloke and growing up and whatnot. But before then, just how's these last few weeks been? I mean, you know, with fixtures being shifted for TV, cup games, away Yorkshire derbies, it's been a really full-on schedule, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been... Well, this league is really tough, we know already from before. It's a lot of games and a lot of tough opponents. And you can see as the league is coming to the end, it's even more tough to beat the teams, because everyone knows each other and everyone's fighting for their lives, no? The teams that are lower part of the table, they are fighting for the next contract. So it's really difficult, and we up for the challenge, yeah.
Yeah, from you know, obviously... been watching all the games, obviously at most of the games, and it just feels, when I look at the team now and the squad that you have and the manager, seems like you're all on the same page. You know, you all want the same thing. You all seem, it looks like you get on. Obviously, I don't know you all personally, but you know, it looks like everyone wants the same thing. Has that been installed by the manager?
Yeah, since the beginning, we do everything together. Every small detail, he's taking care of it. And for me, well, I'm 20 years old and I don't know how all the dressing rooms are, but for example, from all the players, I get to hear that it's a really good really good dressing room, and it's one of the best they've been. So yeah, I suppose it's really good, the atmosphere, yeah, this.
We've been seeing sort of flashing moments from you in the last few weeks, of which I think you've actually been tremendously unlucky not to score more goals, honestly. I mean, you've been a breath of fresh air in many games, but obviously finally against Chelsea, the dam broke. Just what was that like? I mean, of all places to score a brace, I mean, incredible.
Yeah, it felt really good, because it's not just... I score goals and yeah, I'm happy. It was really hard work behind, so it was like a reward. And I think everything is for a reason, and I would do it again if I have to get those rewards, you know.
Does that give you huge confidence when you get them type of goals, you know, against a, you know, a huge club like Chelsea? I don't like saying they're a huge club. I don't really like Chelsea, to be honest. I'm not a Chelsea fan. I'm not a favourite with them. They don't like me, so it is what it is. But, you know, to go there and you know, and perform like you did, and yourself as well, that must give you so much confidence going in when you get your opportunity yourself. You know, that must give you confidence, because we all need that. We can all say we don't, but in football, you know, especially as a striker and goal scorer, confidence is key, isn't it?
Yeah, confidence is key. I always think about it, confidence key. But then I was confident before the game, to be honest. Not obviously after those two goals, it gives you a boost. But before, I was confident because I think I did everything I could. Everything it was in my hands to be able to take the opportunity. So yeah, but obviously after that game, I think I played well. The team played really well. We got a lot of confidence after that, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting actually, because although it was a loss, and it was our first loss of the year and only loss of the year. It didn't feel like it impacted the players too much. Was there a lot of discussion after the game about that, that actually it doesn't really matter? The performance was great and, you know, let's not even count this as an L. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, we always want to win every game because we are Leeds United, mm-hmm. and we are capable of it. But it was a different feeling to, for example, Huddersfield draw.
Yeah.
Because I think we played really well. And then I think everyone knows, everyone was a bit of disappointment after the game, obviously, because we had it so close. It was a late minute goal for them. But as I said, we move on next game and we have to keep working, yeah.
Who's the players that have helped you? You know, when you come in with who's the senior players a big help with you? Because I found when I was a young player myself at Liverpool, you know, it was, all these senior players really helped me massively to improve and, you know, grow and some, you know, on the bench quite a lot. But they're telling you when you come off the bench what you got to do and maybe, you know, just do you get that kind of information from the senior players now?
Yeah, as I said before in the last interview I had, Patrick Bamford, before the Plymouth game and before the Chelsea game, he came to me and he said some tips to get the confidence, to get the rhythm of the game. And I think he helped me a lot. You know, I'm really grateful with him, I told him. And then players like Junior Firpo, Liam Cooper, gave me the confidence before the game. Like told me you just have to do like training and it will be more than fine. So yeah, it's good to have that confidence from players like them that had achieved a lot of things in their careers. Yeah,
it's actually really interesting that as obviously it's a team game, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, like you are now the direct replacement for Pat now. You know, if Pat's coming off the pitch, it's you coming on. You are a perfect opportunity to bring on an equally good number nine. So Pat's got to be looking over his shoulder a little bit. And it's amazing that he's still very, very comfortable giving you advice and tips. Did you find that, Dom, like when you were getting towards your twilight years, you were still comfortable helping the kids that were going to replace you, or was there a bit of a chip on your shoulder?
Yeah, well, listen, when I was a young kid at Liverpool, you know, I'd Ian Rush, John Barnes, that type of player, Robbie Fowler, them kind of strikers that I wasn't a striker. So I knew what I had to do. I had to go out there and try and defend, stop people scoring. But I think when I trained with the strikers, and obviously they were top level strikers, that improved me as a defender. Just training with players who are probably obviously know what they're doing in the final third. So as a defender, it was great to train with them players. And even when I came to Leeds, obviously we had Mark Viduka, Alan Smith, Michael Bridges. You know, we had a lot of other players around. Mm. Robbie Keane came in. So we had a lot of competition. But from a defensive point of view, I wanted to, even in training, I wanted to make sure they didn't score. And I think that's important from my point of view. And you have to learn every time you go out there. I always used to look who I'm playing against. Especially when it comes to a match day, I look at exactly who I'm playing against, what's their weakness, what's their strengths, and try and go from that position, you know, do it that way in a way. And it kind of, certain games, obviously it works, some it doesn't, but I think it's having that right mindset when you go out there, you want to defend properly, do your job well. And I suppose it's the same when you're talking about the strikers, they know what they can do in that final third and you're just trying to stop them, even in training, because that's how you improve and you get better.
That's a good point, actually. I mean, obviously with our current centre-half pairing of Rudd and Ampadu conceding, what, three goals this year, how are they in training? Are they hard to get past?
Yeah, they are really hard to get past and they know a lot, they have experience because they are quite young, but they played a lot of games with the national team, with the clubs. And as you said, they, for example, Ethan training Chelsea, Joe at Tottenham with a great class, world-class player. So yeah, it's a really good challenge. It's hard, but sometimes I win the battle, sometimes they win the battle.
You got a few past them then, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
But don't tell us how. Don't tell us how. We don't want to let the secret out.
No.
Who's the apart from yourself, who's the best finisher at the club? I know you obviously I think you are, obviously. But who's the ones who's impressed you, you know, with the finishing? You know, from my era, obviously Mark Viduka, the ball came in, I knew he was going to be in the back of the net, Alan Smith, these type of Robbie Keane, the Fowlers, all these boys at Leeds. But, you know, for you, is there somebody you look at and go, wow, he can finish? Is it from a midfield or from, you know, wherever position it is? Who's the ones who really can hit the target and score them goals? Is there somebody who's impressed you?
Yeah, Willie Nonto, for example, he has a rocket. Joel Pirou is so calm when it comes to a really good finish. Patrick Bamford, obviously, he's always there in that spot where he's the goals. I try to look at it to learn. And then I would say you're going to be surprised with this one. But for example, I was doing a finishing with Ethan Ampadu today and he was scoring goals.
No way. I don't believe it.
So, honestly, I'll tell you now, when we used to have competitions, attack v defence, you know, with the goalkeeper, obviously a couple of goalkeepers, we used to always beat the strikers as defenders, honestly. But you know what? Because we're so happy just to have a shot on goal. We take it so seriously, whereas you guys are just used to putting the ball in the back of the net. When we get in there, we just want to make a net. We want to do something fancy, because we can't do that on a match day. So, yeah, that's how I used to do it.
Yeah, but you never expected it. Yeah. You never expected for the defender, and then, you know.
I'll be looking out for Ethan on the edge of the box for the next few weeks then.
I will be as well.
Yeah, you have to be shouting there, shoot. Everyone shouting.
Shoot. Okay, so let's rewind a little bit to you. I mean, I say it as a young kid, you're 20 years old. But as a young lad, sort of coming through the ranks in Spain, you were Racing Santander, Espanyol. How did all this start? I mean, your father's English, is that right? And your mother's Spanish. So how did you get into football then? How did this all start off for you in Spain?
Well, I remember I was really, well, not nervous kid, but I was moving all the time, lots of energy. So my father was living in England because he was working. And then my mother was saying, well, what can we do with this kid? He doesn't stop running. So my father said, put him into a sport, you know? And I liked football a lot because I was watching games when I was young. Mm-hmm. So they put me into football. I remember I started in Escobedo de Camargo, is where I live, my village, where I live in Spain.
Okay.
It's a small village with 1,000 people.
Oh, wow. Whereabouts in Spain is that?
North.
Okay.
The north of Spain. Yeah, really, really nice and quiet village. Yeah, I started there and then I moved into Racing de Santander. It was like the big club of where I live. I was there 4 years and then it came the call from Espanyol when I was 13 and I have to move to live on my own.
What's that like at 13?
Well, you don't think about what you live in, you know, to be honest. You think about your dream, achieving your dream. And since I was, I'm young, but even younger.
Yeah.
I remember my parents always put in my mind the sacrifice I have to do to achieve the things I want. So I have to be grateful, forever grateful with them. And I'm the person I am because of them, you know. I stay working harder. I don't mind it to take time to train because it's the sacrifice I have to take, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that because obviously from my point of view, your mum and dad were the ones who took me everywhere. You know, obviously I couldn't drive at that point, so they were taking you to training. It was half an hour every day there and back, you know, to train. And I think sometimes you don't realise how much the parents actually do for you. Now I'm, obviously well retired, I'm nearly 50. But I still speak to my mum and dad on a regular basis. They're both still here with me. So I speak to them on a regular basis and make sure I always say thank you for all what you've done for me. And I keep saying that repeatedly. I call them every single day. Everyone thinks I'm a bit of a weirdo because I call my mum and dad twice a day. And everyone thinks that's weird. A lot of my mates take the mickey out of me. You're a bit of a mummy's boy or whatever. I don't care. They're the ones who supported me all the way through my career. And even when I went through some tough times, they were there for me 100%. So, you know, it's good to hear that as well. You've got the support as well around you, your family and your friends. That is key, you know, especially at your age, at 20. You're going to get people coming in trying to influence you in certain things. It's good that you've got a good grounding with your family. That is key for you moving forward as a player. I really mean that.
I do the same, eh?
Yeah.
I'm always, when I go on holiday or something, I always call my father's, my parents, sorry.
Yeah.
I call them at night to say good night or to talk about the day.
Yeah,
perfect. And yeah, like you said, I had a friend. This is a bit funny, you know.
Yeah.
I had a friend that when I started playing in the team of my village, it was a 9 a.m. kickoff, and we were really young, you know. And some parents said, "Ah, no, I'm not going to put him in football because I will need to wake up at 9 a.m. Saturdays." So it's a parent sacrifice too, you know.
Correct.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. It's very, very true. The parents go through a lot. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, I do it. Don't worry. I have to do it. My son plays four times a week. He's only 10. And I can't drive anymore because my license got took off me from my illness. So I have to get an Uber. Or, you know, there's other taxis out there. But yeah, I have to get a lift to training every single day to take my little boy to all his training sessions. So I understand what you're saying there because, you know, you have to put that commitment in to help. And I'm on the other side of the coin now.
Yeah.
My days have gone of playing. Now it's about a different thing, trying to get my little boy to improve and be better, the best he can be.
And it's actually my mum's birthday today. So happy birthday, mum. She doesn't listen to the show, but there you go. Someone will tell her. So I do want to touch on that because so obviously the support from the parents is a really important thing. But I mean, most people listening to this show, myself included, the idea of leaving home and everything you know at 13 is probably completely alien to some people, most people, I would suspect. I mean, I remember when I was sort of going away for work at a very young age and I was a homebody and I found it very, very difficult. Nowadays, as you get older and you enjoy it, you start to embrace it and now I want to go all over the place. But when I was young, when I was 13, I hated going away from home. Were you one of those people who were just like, you're just excited about the adventure, or were there moments where I was like, I don't know if I can do this?
Well, yeah, there's not moments that doubting of myself, but yeah, when I used to go for Christmas, because in Spain there's a Christmas break, it was hard. Even summer holidays, it was hard because you are with everyone and then you have to leave it again. It's not that you have to leave it one time and that's it. You have to leave it every time you go home.
Yes.
And it's difficult, but yeah, I was chasing my dream, so.
And does everyone in this little village of 1,000 people now, does everyone know your name? Are you a big celebrity back there now?
Yeah, but they always help me, you know. When I go home, they always give me the key of the pitch, and I go there and train. Yeah, they are really nice people, and I'm going to be grateful with them always. Yeah,
that's cool.
I mean, I've got a bit of a different situation. So I had a house in Ibiza. So when it came to I know it sounds a bit crazy, but I did. And all my mates used to come with me. It was mad, and my family, my mum and dad lived out in Ibiza for a long time. And I remember I had to speak to the club in Ibiza, like the local team, and said, I need to do some training. Obviously, back in the day, we'd have 4 weeks off and then do 2 weeks training. Then you go back and play. That's how it was back in my era. I'm sure it's very different now. But I remember they gave me a bit of time to play on the pitch, end up playing against all the local kids. It's like semi-professionals as well. They weren't bad. I actually enjoyed it. You know, didn't speak any English. Obviously, I only speak English. So it was just, but you always find a way in football.
The international language.
Yeah, the international language is football. And I've just found, like, I trained there, went and played to get kicked about ball about with these people. And it was great. And that's how I always say to my little boy now, that's how you can improve a little bit. I'm not saying, obviously, your level now, it's obviously different, but you're still learning while you're out there training and doing stuff. You've got to keep going, haven't you? I think, you know, especially because you guys are so much fitter. I can't believe how fit you guys are compared to our era. And that's me not having a go at the era I started. It was completely different. You know, we'd be on holiday, like you say, for a month, all the boys having a beer or whatever. Nowadays, it's changed. And I think it's changed for the better. Some people won't agree with me, but I think it has, because when I see you lot now, it's like flipping neck. I have to like make sure I'm looking a bit sharper because I have to squeeze in a little bit because as you get a bit older, you put a bit of timber on, a bit of weight, as they say. So yeah, when I was on holiday and I've got a game like coming up, when I come back, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to get weighed, because obviously towards the end of my career, that I started getting weighed at the end when I was 34. We never used to get weighed in our era. They didn't even check on it at all.
Right.
So I bet they have to check on your weight when you're out doing stuff when you get back.
Yeah, what's the boss like with that?
Yeah, no, he's not too strict with it. But yeah, for example, at the beginning of the season, I remember some people were overweighted and yeah, he was on them. But obviously everyone is in charge of themselves. Everyone that wants to achieve things as a team and as an individual has to take care of every detail, you know.
In fact, you're the opposite, really, Matteo. I mean, you've bulked up, haven't you? I mean, you've put some real weight on in the last couple of years.
Yeah. I put a lot of 4 kilos, I think, since
last
summer.
Hold on a minute. What's he trying to say? He's trying to say you. Is he digging you out?
I'm saying he's muscled up, mate. I'm saying he's not the young lad we signed anymore.
Listen, you've got two Mateos in here now, and I'll come over wherever you are and sort you right out. Because us Mateos,
I was talking to you, mate.
Us Mateos stick together. Don't you forget that.
But was that very much part of the goal, was to try and put some size onto you and get a bit more strength?
Yeah. I knew.
I mean muscle, by the way. I mean specifically muscle.
Yeah, since I came, that was the objective. Obviously, I wasn't fat, but take the body fat and put the muscle.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think everyone noticed. It's a good thing that everyone noticed.
Yeah.
And I feel really, really, really good on the pitch. Yeah, I feel stronger and I feel ready. Yeah.
It's interesting that, because my wife weighs me every day and I'm like, she's taking a mickey out of me. She must think I'm putting a bit of timber on her. You know, I'm not having it at all. I should be able to get away for a little bit. I'm nearly 50. Come on, give me a break. I train every day. I'm still putting the weight on.
So I bloody don't, and I'm 34. That must be really hard work, actually, when I think about it, because, you know, there's times when I've needed to put weight on for something, and the amount of food that you have to eat to try and put size on is difficult for a normal person. But for someone like yourself who's running around all day, every day, and you've got to still maintain that cardiovascular health. Just how much food are you having to eat?
Well, I think it's not too, because I got a dietitian last year when I started to do the gym, and it's not that you have to eat a lot. It's more like what to eat,
right?
And in what moment. Mm-hmm. So I think he educated me really well. And now I know more or less, but every meal I have, I send him a pick and he said, put more of this, take this. So
oh, wow.
we're trying to achieve the perfection, you know.
Mm-hmm. And is that something you do yourself or is that through the club?
No, I do it, to be honest, I do it myself. But now, for example, we've got the new nutritionist, Elise, that is helping me too. And I got two people there helping me, so as much as help I can have, the better. No,
amazing.
No, I think you're right. I think diet's key. You know, I'd never have thought that back in the day when I was playing, but now when I see it is so vital to get the good stuff into your body for recovery, especially. But yeah, that's massive, I think, nowadays, and it's obviously huge now, but obviously my era was completely different. I mean, we loved the McDonald's.
yeah. Bridgie was telling me you all had them cards for the McDonald's over the road at Ellen Road.
Yeah, we're sponsored by, can you believe it? We're sponsored by McDonald's. It was crazy. I was on two double cheeseburgers a day. It was crazy.
Have you all been over the road there yet? Your team out into McDonald's?
No. I'm pretty like, I watch every detail, and for example, when I'm with my girlfriend outside, I have a day off, and we're going to eat. She always gets angry because I say, no, I don't want to eat this. I don't want to eat this.
It's tough.
So maybe we ask for a dessert to share, and I tell her, because she doesn't eat too much, I tell her, come on, eat it yourself. And he said, no, you eat it. And I say, I cannot eat it. Cause
where's your favourite place to eat now? I know, obviously, in Leeds. And where's your favourite place to eat, and what type of food you like? Because I love my food, mate. So what's your favourite?
Yeah, I love food too. I love.
What's your favourite?
Well, when I go home,
my
family cook really well, some really good Spanish food. But when I'm here, I really like, for example, Fazenda. I really like Fazenda, the food, the meat. Hey,
good protein.
Good protein. So when I do gym,
my friends own that place.
Yeah.
Yeah, Fazenda, yeah. The two of my friends, they own it, yeah. So
I really like to go there.
I'll give them the feedback that you really like it. They'll be buzzing about that because they're massive Leeds fans as well, the two guys.
Are they really? Oh, great. Good to know.
And then I like sushi. I like sushi. Yeah. I go Blue Sakura. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Leeds has got some good sushi recently. When I was younger, there was no sushi in Leeds, and now they've got some really good places.
Yeah, it's good. But sushi, I have to be more careful because it's rice and carbohydrates. So maybe if you played a game, a full game, you can eat it. Yeah,
just get the sashimi. It's fine.
sashimi. Yeah.
We're talking about coming to Leeds then. Obviously, that in itself is another big leap. Obviously, your father, you were saying, was working in London at the time and is English, so it wouldn't have been a massive leap for you. I mean, I assumed that you'd been over to England a few times prior to the move.
Yeah, I've been to London and Leicester because my father is originally from Leicester.
Okay.
And
nobody's perfect.
But he's been living all his life in London. So,
and have you got quite a lot of family in England? I think, is it your grandma lives near Stamford Bridge, actually, doesn't she? Is she not far from there in London?
Yeah.
Did she get to the game?
Yeah, she came to the. Yeah. She was bussing. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Is it true about relation to Emil Heskey?
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's my father's cousin.
Because I played with Emil at Liverpool.
Yeah.
Good guy. Yeah, really good guy. Yeah, I know Emil very, very well. We've got this, we had the same agent over the years and stuff. So, yeah, good lad. Really good lad.
Yeah, and my cousin, his children, plays for Man City.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, two of them. Yeah, so I get to chat to them sometimes when he scores, when I score, react. Yeah,
I mean you could have worse people as inspiration to look up to for scoring goals, couldn't you?
Yeah, really big striker and good.
Yeah,
really good striker.
So you've come to Leeds then? Obviously, as I say, you know England, you know English, so it's not a huge sort of shift, but still you've moved to a different country. How was that when you first arrived in England?
Yeah, obviously it was a bit difficult, but because it's leaving everything again, because I did my life there in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. So it's leaving it again when I had my life there and, new people. Because sometimes when you move in the same country, you can know people, have people in common or played against them. But England, it was like I didn't play to against anyone. It was difficult. But with the language, I understand everything. Yeah. Obviously, my English is not perfect talking, but it was easier. Yeah.
It's better than Dom's.
Correct. Yeah, but you've got to remember, I'm an Italian Scottish Englishman. So, I've got, my dad's Italian, my mum's from near Liverpool, and I was born in Glasgow. So there you go.
Nah, but it's way better than mine.
Yeah.
It's way better than mine.
Coming into obviously Leeds, not sort of the best couple of years that we've had, the last couple in the Premier League. What was the feeling around the club? Were you still pleased that you'd come, or was it a bit like, oh bloody hell, like I've come and we're on a downward spiral? Like what was sort of going through your mind throughout that process of coming back out of the Premier League?
Well, the first years I remember in the Prem, I really enjoyed it because you could go to the games and see. I was in the 21s, you could go to the games and see Premier League games, and really good games and learn about them. But no, I didn't think it was a bad choice because everything's a process. And I knew my process was working hard and getting to the team. Obviously, maybe if we were in the Premier League, I wouldn't get the chance. So you never know. Everything happens for a reason. Now we are in the champ. We are in a really good shape. We are a really good team. And I think sometimes... going one step backwards, it's better for them get two steps forward,
Yeah, I do.
And I think the owners now and the people around the club, I think they have really good ideas, and it's going to be a bright future, yeah.
It must be difficult, and I've spoke to Bridgie about this a lot, and Dom, you'd be a great example for this. That time when Leeds got relegated the first time, 2004, the change in managers was so difficult, Bridgie talks about, saying that was one of the hardest things, was the change in personnel in the coaching staff. So I'm just curious, like, what was all that like for your development to not have? I suppose in the under-21s, you had a little bit more consistency, but what was that like, just sort of having to get used to a new gaffer every few months?
Well, it's not the best It's not the best scenario, but I think it's good because you can get the best out of every single coach, you know.
Oh wow, interesting.
And every time they change the coach, it's another opportunity to fight for your place, you know.
Wow.
So I think you have to look it that way and not be disappointed, you know.
Yeah, I think we had a similar issue at Leeds. Obviously, we got in the Champions League, got to the semi-finals the year after we finished fourth. So we didn't qualify for the Champions League. So there was a bit, everyone was a bit frustrated because we didn't get back in the Champions League, even though we're playing so well. Then the year after, we just stayed up. We won at Arsenal. We won 3-2 at Arsenal to stay up in 2003. You weren't even born. But then obviously the last game we got relegated. So, you know, for me, I carried that round for a long time because I just felt responsible. For a long while because I was captain of the club when we got relegated. And that hurt me a lot, really did. It took me a while to overcome that. And then obviously I moved on to a different club, but it didn't really help. I'd rather have stayed, to be honest, and fought for my place. And, you know, but sometimes things are taken out of your control. I had to leave. I was told I had to leave for the wage bills, get off the wage bill. So, yeah, I understand sometimes what it's like to be in that position where you want to do your best for your club, but it's not quite working. And, you know, obviously we're looking back to when Leeds obviously were in the Premier League, then got relegated. I think it's that next step, if we were to get back in, which I hope we are, and I really believe we can, is that when you do go back into that Premier League, is having that plan again and make sure that we can keep that going again, because I think that was one of the things that happened to us. We didn't have a plan. At that point, and that's what happened to us. And obviously, I don't want that to happen again. And I want Leeds to be in the Premier League and stay in the league because we're such a great club. We've got such a great fans. You know, you've got players like yourself and lots of other younger players as well coming through. You know, Archie and other players are getting time. You're getting game to other players as well. And I just want to see that club progress. And with people like yourself, young lads, you're the future of this club. You really are. And I think sometimes it seems like you're all very relaxed about it, but does that come with a little bit of pressure?
Obviously you get the pressure everywhere because, everyone works hard for having those moments. No, I really fancy those moments. I really like those moments. So it's not pressure because I've been doing this all my life playing football.
That's a typical striker's answer. That. I'm heading balls all over the place around the back, and you strikers just stick it in the back of the net, get the glory, and I'm absolutely shattered.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure on us. But I'm only joking. I get what you mean. Yeah, I get what you mean.
No. Well, obviously, everything like playing in at Leeds is having that fan base, and everyone, it's like everyone wants us to lose, you know?
Yeah, outside. Sure. That's right.
So I just want to win to shut the mouth, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Listen, no, that's a great attitude. I love that.
That is the Leeds attitude, mate. That's what we need. I mean, obviously, you signed a new 4-year deal, so you know you must be happy with how everything's going at the moment.
Yeah, really happy because I think we have a really, really good team. Like you said, we have a really good balance between young players and older players. So it's just these final games, getting to win them, you know, it would be the best.
Is there anything you work on personally, at the training ground? Obviously, I know you're obviously a striker. Is there, you know, is there sessions you go out and do you want to do it on your own? Do you have people who come and help you if there's something you want to work on? Because obviously I used to have to work on my defending quite a lot as a centre-half. So, you know, David O'Leary, who was my manager at Leeds United back in the day, he'd have me out kicking, you know, heading balls, doing all the defensive side of it. Do you have something similar at Leeds where you've got 3 or 4 strikers where you go out and you work on your finishing and stuff like that?
Yeah, I always want to do something else because I want to take advantage of the day. So when they let me, I stay shooting. If not, I stay in the gym. And if not, I just rest if they tell me to rest. But yeah, I always try to do something else to get even better. And I'm quite I'm quite constant with the finishing. Yeah. Hmm. From all the spaces in the box. Yeah. First touch and finish, quick.
Well, we don't have much time with you. I know you've got a busy schedule. So we won't keep you too long. I did want to touch on the league a little bit. This episode's actually going to go out after the Millwall game. So we've gone top of the league. For a couple of weeks. But I just wanted to ask about in terms of like this freak season, in terms of, you know, we keep winning games. We've broken a lot of records ourselves, and yet we still find ourselves in second and Ipswich just behind us. Do you watch the other games play out? Like, for example, when we beat Wednesday last week, did you sit and watch Ipswich? Did you watch Leicester? Or do you just switch off from that and just do what Leeds have got to do?
Yeah, well, sometimes I watch the games, but I prefer just to get on with our work and don't watch the games and just analyze when I got to analyze the games. But we have to win every game, trying to win every game. And yeah, the other ones will drop points or not, and that's not our, it doesn't depend on us, you know, so it's just keeping our way. Yeah.
With the Championship, obviously, I only spent a year and a bit in the Championship. I didn't realise how hard it was and how physical it was, because I predominantly played most of my time in the Premier League. But when I played in the Championship, there was different things I had to contend with. You know, players wanting to boot you because you've played for Liverpool or played for, you know, it's a lot of, you know, and I can see that at Leeds, because Leeds are doing so well, especially at home, that, you know, they're a big scalp. You're out there, aren't you? So it's like everyone's looking, thinking, oh, if we can get that win, like Millwall this weekend, they'll be thinking, you know, Neil Harris, new manager's just come in. He'll be thinking, I tell you what, if we can just upset the apple cart by getting something at Leeds, because Millwall don't really like us and we don't really like them. I know you can't talk about that, but I can. There's lots of rivalry within this game. And I just think, again, our fans have been so good. I mean, you must hear that every week, you know. I can't believe it. I mean, going back to what game was it now? The Leicester game, which was a very, very tough game. We all know that. The atmosphere that day, I can't say it was as good, but it was very much like when we were in the Champions League. That kind of noise, that level. And people going, it can't have been that. No, I said it was. It was really, it was unbelievable. And I just think with the fans that we have, you must feel that. You must get energised by them fans, because they're incredible. They really are.
Yeah, it sounds like a topic, how good our fans are. But it's like, it's real, like one of the best fans I've seen. For example, in Spain, you don't got this, I swear. Yeah, you don't got this. So it's something special that we need to use in our games. And I think we use well. And for example, when I come on, it's like that extra energy you have with them. So I really like it, you know.
Yeah.
I think that's an amazing note to leave it on. Matteo, thank you so much for joining us. I wish you all the best with the rest of the season. I wish you all the best with the international break. I just look forward to seeing you going from strength to strength, mate. It's been a real pleasure watching you play the last few weeks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hope it keeps going on like this and good games. Yeah, thank you.
I'm sure it will, mate.
All the best.
Thank you very much. You take care, buddy.
Thank you. And love you, Leeds. Leeds.